Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my loving wife, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Blessings and grace to all, as we thank our El Shaddai for his loving kindness. We will look at a somewhat neglected prophetic book tonight, Obadiah. But first, let us praise the Lord for his many provisions.
Lord, you are our provider, our Jehovah Jireh, and because of you, we have joy in our lives in whatever circumstances we find ourselves. We remain your bondservant because we love you with all our heart. You are the light and our only salvation. Therefore, we will not fear the fiery arrows of the wicked one. We lift up to your throne our lost loved ones to do whatever it takes to bring them to their knees. May this program be a blessing to you and to those who are listening. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, all eyes still remain on Russia.
Yes, and rightfully so.
So, will they do that false flag like they are being accused of orchestrating?
Well, as we said last week, if there is a false flag, it will be our elite of the deep state that will do it. And many countries are saying we are blowing it out of proportion. But Russia does keep adding more military and to its allied neighbor, Belarus, too. They are also building up its naval force on Syria's port of Tartus on the Mediterranean. So a lot is going on, but could it be just a smokescreen to maybe keep us busy so China can take Taiwan?
No, people have messaged us wanting to know your real opinion.
Well, I'm taking the stand that Russia will not, on any full scale, attack Ukraine. It's a big rumor that Jesus said would happen in the last days, as evil wants to cause fear and chaos and confusion and uncertainty. You know, Russia might do a cyber attack and perhaps down Ukraine's grid for a while. But to kill others, of which many are Russian, I just don't think so. Now, Putin wants to influence with control, as he did with Georgia and Crimea, utilizing a small force of military to keep the people friendly, but in line and complacent.
Well, otherwise, he would lose Nord Stream 2.
Mm-hmm, and Germany would be mighty angry about that. You know, yesterday, Germany's chancellor said they would stand with the United States should Russia attack Ukraine. But I kind of think they know they're not going to have to. Besides, Putin doesn't want to deal with all that international pushback. He wants diplomacy with concessions in his favor, and uses this fear-mongering to hopefully get what he wants. The trouble is, and he knows this too, I'm sure he knows it too, is we have those elite warmongers who do want war to sell more weapons.
Which is why we leave our good military when we vacate, as in Iraq, Syria, and Afghanistan.
Yeah, our artillery. Again, as we've been saying, the industrial military complex just might coordinate a false flag event to push Russia into war. But a straight answer for will Putin, without serious provocation, invade and attack Ukraine, killing millions? I don't think so, in my opinion.
We shall see. Oh, so let's move on to mandates.
Well, sadly, mask mandates have been upheld in a court in Virginia after its new Republican Governor Youngkin ordered that parents have the right to choose.
Seems they don't.
And it's the leftist school boards who are fighting Youngkin. It's disturbing, and they are not following recent science.
It's all political, because he's not one of them.
Yeah. Even some school kids are taking a stand against masks. And we now know for sure they offer little help and causes much psychological damage, as time will show, especially in the younger grades. And did you see how $10 million came into the GoFundMe page for the truckers protesting against vaccine mandates in Canada?
Yes, and GoFundMe tried to keep the money.
They say the truckers are causing a blockade and therefore not peaceful. And they made a new law that they can no longer honk their horns and are confiscating the gas being sent in to keep them warm. But we'll see how that turns out, because more truckers are coming here, too, from California to D.C.
People are finally saying enough is enough.
So stop using GoFundMe. There's a ton of options out there. Just do a web search other than Google.
Yeah, we use DuckDuckGo most of the time.
We do. Also, many believe the global elite, rich men of the earth, as the Bible calls them in Revelation, are trying to move us into the Chinese model of a social credit scoring system. More points to the obedient, who makes no noise about anything, but with extra points for turning in your neighbor for bad behavior.
And, you know, if not obedient, points are taken away.
Right. And those points are based on what privileges you get.
As in, how much food you can buy.
How often you can ride the bus, or how many miles you can travel from your house.
We're already seeing that here.
Really. The vaccine card gives one many points, because you can't enter some places if not vaccinated, or at least tested within 72 hours before an event. As in, you know, we are planning to see a play at the Playhouse next week, but we must wear tight-fitting masks and be vaccinated or get a negative PCR test. And by the way, home tests are not valid, and they must be within 3 days. And true lab tests, where you actually go into the lab, they're harder to get appointments by these days.
And look at how free home tests, they're all made in China.
And the government bought with our money.
So they are not free, and neither are the shots.
Right. Anything but. That's why we are now up to $30 trillion in debt. But it's all part of their plan to weaken America. And just saying, November is way too far off.
They have a demonic plan for that, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But never forget, still, in all this, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Who can we fear?
Well, you either trust God or you don't.
I choose to trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not unto my own understanding, but acknowledge him in all my ways.
Amen to that.
Mm-hmm. Another sign of the times, of course, is in Matthew 24, where lawlessness will abound.
It's skyrocketing.
Because there's no accountability.
Criminals are quickly released.
At least in the blue cities. And the southern immigrants go anywhere they want without proper vetting. And don't get me wrong, some are victims entering a life of servitude. They aren't all criminals. Except there are the drug cartels and the child traffickers, etc. And many will take American jobs for lesser wages and probably vote Democrat when they are allowed to do so.
You know, and they're working on that right now.
Mm-hmm. Just want to say a little more about these vaccine mandates, because what these poisonous shots are doing to our innate immune system is the worst of all. We have been warning everyone we know about the many varied injuries.
Well, including sudden death.
It's true. But a hidden fact from these so-called vaccinations, no one's knowing it. Even the life insurance companies are screaming over the fact that there has been a 40% increase in deaths in just 2 months. And that's between the ages of 18 and 65.
And that's not old, folks.
No, but besides that, another thing to keep in mind, as we have stated often, is that in most of the fully vaccinated, a much more subtle process is taking place that may not be immediately apparent.
Well, you know, but over time it will.
Right, as these injections wears away at your God-created immune system, leaving it more prone to infection from other viruses. And what we are saying is confirmed by many excellent virologists, including Dr. Ryan Cole, a board-certified pathologist who runs the largest independent diagnostics lab in Idaho, who says that he has already been observing serious declines in the health of people who took the jabs. But many, especially family doctors, they're just refusing to connect the dots.
Oh, yeah, right, like my doctor.
Mm-hmm. He's not very happy with us. Anyhow, virologist Dr. Cole says, post-vaccination, he's seeing a very concerning, locked-in, low profile of the important killer T cells that you need in your body.
Yeah, similar to HIV.
It's like they go to sleep and therefore cannot fight any new viruses. In the laboratory, Dr. Cole says he is also witnessing a sharp uptick in the herpes family of viruses,
as well as shingles and mono,
and HPV in the cervical biopsies and pap smears with endometrial cancers are up. Like 2,000% they're up. And that's just in a few months. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, sometimes normal kids will get a little infectious bump with a rash. And it's not a problem because their killer T cells takes care of it. But now he's also seeing this bump in over people of the age of 50. Again, it's normally not very serious, except in vaxxed adults, it's different. It hangs around, and what it tells him is that their immune status, as in their T cells, are weakening.
Oh, and we're also seeing a massive uptick in cancer.
Especially in the return of cancers.
As we have seen in a friend of ours.
Yes. The data is now coming in. The vaxxed are put into a weakened immune state. Whether or not this is permanent still remains to be seen.
But boosters further the damage.
For sure. And we pray the immune system is going to regenerate and those ratios will go back up.
But who's really studying it?
Right. And where are the long-term trials?
We're in our third year now.
Yeah. It's just a massive experiment in immune system tampering that will definitely have a devastating and permanent impact on those who choose to participate in it.
What else is in the news that Christians need to hear?
Well, quite a bit, but let's just talk about how the U.S. killed the ISIS leader in a rare Syria operation.
Oh, big deal. They'll just find another leader.
True. Because ISIS is making a comeback. And Iran/Persia is certainly important news to Bible readers who love prophecy because now Biden has unfrozen nearly $30 billion in their assets to help them along their nuclear journey.
Looks like Ezekiel 38's picking up speed.
Yes, our president is the bunny puppet that just keeps on giving to our enemies. With that said, it's time to say,
things are not falling out of place. They are falling right into place.
These might be the worst of times, but as Mark Twain once said, they are also the best of times, if you know Jesus.
Amen to that. Okay, you can send your prayer requests, comments, and end time questions to Sheila@shofarministry.net or call the office. But be sure to leave your phone number with your detailed message to 440-834-9006 and we will call you back. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Your love offerings are greatly appreciated. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find our past radio and teaching newsletters, all archived for your convenience.
And please do share what you learn. Okay, what does the name Obadiah mean?
Worshipper or servant of Yahweh.
It's actually the shortest book of the Bible.
Shorter than Jude?
Yep. Only 21 verses, but contains a lot of information not seen in other writings and really underscores the justice of God. Most scholars agree Obadiah wrote around the same time that the Babylonians were attacking Jerusalem.
And likely was not taken captive.
Right. Because a few were left in Jerusalem to maintain what was left. But put yourself in their place for just a moment and try to understand what they must have thought and felt as many were being slaughtered, watching their city of Jerusalem burning.
And their temple was destroyed.
But over on the sidelines, the Edomites were joyfully celebrating their demise, saying, "Raise it, raise it."
That's R-A-Z-E, meaning to destroy.
While the Edomites watched the little children being dashed against the stones, and no one would help.
And you know, historians confirm that.
Let us read what David, many years before, had prophesied in Psalm 137, verse 7.
"Remember, O Lord, against the sons of Edom, the day of Jerusalem, who said, 'Raise it, to its very foundation, O daughter of Babylon, who are to be destroyed.'"
And Revelation 17 and 18 does confirm that. Continue in verse 9 of Psalm 137.
"Happy the one who repays you as you have served us. Happy the one who takes and dashes your little ones against the rock."
Yeah, that's the enemy, your little ones. David said that.
Mm-hmm.
Besides all that, remember, it was the Edomites who would not allow the Israelites to pass through Edom after they fled Egypt. So instead, they had to travel many more miles to bypass their journey to Canaan.
Numbers 20 recorded that.
But then, in Deuteronomy 23:7, we read an interesting scripture. Honey?
"You shall not abhor an Edomite, for he is your brother."
Mm-hmm.
"You shall not abhor an Egyptian, because you were an alien in his land."
What is amazing and why I wanted you to read that is because even after Joshua conquered the land of Canaan, they allowed the Edomites to stay at their current borders. Even today, Israel is willing to compromise a lot for peace with its neighbors. They are very kind to their enemies, even hospitalizing them to wellness when they're injured.
Well, as we saw in Syria.
The only time Israel acts is when they are acted upon, or when they highly suspect that their annihilation, as in a nuclear bomb from Iran, starts knocking on their door.
Yeah, which is understandable.
Because they have also read Ezekiel 38. So let's go way back to the beginning in Genesis 25 to see the struggle, or one could call it warfare in the womb. We'll pick it up after Isaac, Abraham's son of promise, takes a wife, Rebekah, who pleads to God for a son, much like her mother-in-law Sarah did.
Only this time, Rebekah waited on God.
Uh-huh, and became pregnant with twins. Please read Genesis 25, verse 22.
"But the children struggled together within her, and she said, 'If all is well, why am I like this?' So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, 'Two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger.'"
Now, the word for people here is Liam in its number 3816 and only used in this verse. Other scriptures, we see the word Am or A-M for the word people, and that's number 5971.
I feel a deep meaning coming out.
And you are right. The word Liam actually means distinct from each other, a total opposite group to one another.
And the only place God uses the word Liam for people in the whole Torah.
Yeah. Yes, we do see it just a few times in Isaiah and Psalms, but not in the Torah. But the rest of the Hebrew word for the word people is Am, number 5971. Check it out. Again, because Liam means very different in mannerisms, in thoughts, and in spirit, I would add. Their names are Esau, who came up first, and then Jacob followed, whose name means heel catcher and conniver. However, it also means God protects. And he was a bit of a conniver, Jacob was, for he and Mama Rebecca did connive his father Isaac to steal Esau's, the firstborn's birthright. Although they knew Esau could really care less about it. And later Jacob did some more conniving over the goat situation when he left his father-in-law Laban. Not that Jacob didn't deserve his take, for he did work for Laban 21 years. But you can catch up on all that in Genesis 30 and 31. Anyhow, Esau represented unrighteousness and evil, but Jacob represented righteousness, and it was from his descendants that would come the Messiah. Scripture does say that God hated Esau, but we know it's because of what would come from him, because Esau's descendants would hurt the apple of God's eye. Of course, we always examine any questionable words in Scripture, for the Hebrew word for hate is sonei, which can be translated hatred for one's enemies, but from Brenner's lexicon, a deeper contextual rendering really means two words, a thorn and a seed. Like an enemy who is a thorn in your side or thorns amongst the sown seed like the tares amongst the wheat. In actuality, it means a foe or enemy who, like thorns, causes pain. Or better yet, a thorn to the descendants of Isaac, down to Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. So the English word hate might be too misleading to a new believer, but we can all agree, God's not too fond of them. But Esau and Jacob eventually did make peace, as we read in Genesis 33, but not his descendants, and are still here today. And they are the enemies of Israel. Now that's the backstory to Obadiah. So who are the descendants of Esau today? Well, you're going to have to turn in next week as we examine who they are and what Obadiah prophesies about their enemies. But let me ask you, do you have the blood of Jesus flowing through your heart? How well do you know him? Is he personal to you? If not, invite him in right now before you run out of time. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you total peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. Till next time, tell someone about the Lord. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.